Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto us from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure that at one time or another, all of us with gardens, yards, or house plants have had one of those problem plants. You know, that flowering shrub, tree, or houseplant that won't grow and also won't die. Gardening was a hobby that my mother introduced to me while I was still young, and to this day I cannot drive past someone's home or visit them without observing what sorts of plants they have and how they care for them. So naturally, I couldn't help but notice the ever-bearing rose bush on the corner of the property at the vicarage. Last summer when I moved in, the rose bush was a sorry sight. It was filled with dead canes and stems. Aphids were munching away at every single leaf. Long, lanky shoots were sprouting out from the rootstock and blocking the sunlight from the other branches. The few flowers that were on the bush were small and fungus-infected. This plant was sick and ugly, only fit for the burn pile. This is the image that we should have in mind when we think about the church. The image of a vine or a plant describes our relationship to Christ and our relationship to one another in the body of Christ. Like my rose bush, the church often seems like a sickly, nasty-looking thing. It is made up of people who are both saints and sinners. Our congregation, like that of any other Christian fellowship, can be plagued by the blight of pride, rivalries, gossip, power plays, malice, and jealousy, which all stem from fear and unbelief. These things jeopardize our relationship to Christ and to one another. With every sin and error that we commit, we separate ourselves from Christ and risk being cut off. This has happened in Mass to Christ's church before. We think of the Old Testament. The Israelites had despised God's law and his prophets. They became spiritually dead in their trespasses and unbelief. They despised God himself in the person of Christ, and for their rejection and unbelief, they were cut off. Now, this may seem rather harsh, but God had sent the law to his people. He was with them just as he had promised to be, dwelling in the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat, on the tabernacle, in the temple, forgiving their sins and acting for them. He had sent prophets to call them back to repentance. He had given them many chances. He had been pruning and trimming his chosen people, Israel, for centuries. But to no avail. In the end, the pruning became so severe that all that was left of the once vibrant vine of the nation of Israel was reduced to a dry stump, incapable of growth or bearing fruit. Now, if you go to a garden center or Walmart and buy a tree or shrub, you may notice that the bark, there's a little part at the bottom above the roots where two pieces and two plants have been brought together in a graft. The plant producer has grafted a robust rootstock to the bottom of a branch or cane from another plant. This is done so that fragile flowering trees and shrubs will have a better nutrient supply through the stronger roots of another plant, so they can have more blossoms and fruit. This grafting is what God has done to the dry stump of Israel in the person of Jesus Christ. Israel was rooted in the law and the prophets, but they were unable to grow well and bear good fruit. God knows that his people will fail if left to grow on their own again. So he puts a graft into the rootstock. This graft is Christ. Now, technically speaking, Christ is not a complete new graft of this plant. Christ is like a hybrid, fully God and fully man. He is human as the promised seed and descendant of Abraham, of the line of David, of the root of Jesse. And he is also the only begotten eternal Son of the Most High God. Jesus, the true and perfect Israelite, will bring new life and growth to the pathetic, sickly stump that had once been Israel in its glory. St. John writes in our epistle text for today, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now, most of us wouldn't waste a few weeks or even a growing season or two on some stupid dying plant, let alone give our own lives for it. But our Lord is not like us. God's love is inexhaustible and unsearchable and mysterious. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to come into our own flesh, to suffer and die on the cross, to save each and every one of us from sin and eternal death. Christ has become the robust, true vine, and we are his fruit-bearing branches. As Christians, we are fully and freely justified through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Christ's gifts of cleanness, purity, life, and salvation are fully already ours through faith. We already possess everything that we need to live a life of faith on this earth and even into all eternity. Our whole life, our whole being, is grafted into and receives its identity and sustenance in Christ, the true vine. United to Christ in faith, in the Holy Christian Church, we partake of his blessings in the Scriptures and in the sacraments, together with other members of the body of Christ in the community of the Church. The Church is so much more than just a group or a social activist club. The Church is an institution established by our Lord himself, where our Lord himself promises to be present and active. The Church is Christ's own body. To be in the Church is nothing less than to live in the life of God himself. Loving and serving others is exactly what our Lord did. That was his office, and he did it in self-sacrificing love. As members of his body, the Church, the office and task of loving others is also ours. St. John writes in the epistle for today, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." We love and serve others in a variety of ways in our own daily callings. Today, this Mother's Day, we remember the special and honorable vocation of mothers who care for and teach us and who deserve our respect, our love, and our honor, not just one day of the year, but every day. And we all serve in our daily vocations as students, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, caregivers, co-workers, bosses, and so on. We carry out our Christian calling by caring for and providing for the neighbor in his or her need. And we love them in the love of Christ. We are also called to forgive others just as God has so graciously forgiven us, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. We are called to openly share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as we see Philip sharing with the Ethiopian in our text from Acts today. We are called to encourage and to console one another. This may mean patiently guiding and admonishing a member of the body of Christ when we see that he or she is placing their life and faith in peril by continuing in open, unrepentant sin. But let us always keep in mind that Jesus' strongest rebukes were not to those who struggled and were imperfect and were known as sinners, but to those who, like the scribes and Pharisees, trusted in their own holiness and their own good works apart from Christ. God-pleasing fruits of faith only come from and through Christ. Our Lord says, "Abide in me and I in you." As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Our good works, our fruits of faith, are Christ's works, Christ's perfect faith, which nourish and edify the church so that she and all of her members may be built up to live a winsome witness to the world, to the glory of God the Father. Our service and our works in Christ are done in the freedom we have in Christ. We bear forth fruits and faith not under compulsion or fear, but out of the free peace, love, and joy that only comes through Christ. Now we know that we do not always do the good works that we are supposed to do. In fact, we do a lot of things that we shouldn't do at all. We are not yet perfect. In this world, we all continue to struggle. We are part of the church that is still in this world known as the church militant. The church is still in battle. The church is still plagued by the blight and disease of the old Adam, the devil, the world, sin, and death. What is really interesting about Jesus' description of his relationship to the church in today's gospel reading is that his description assumes that some branches will not bear fruit. Jesus says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." A dead or diseased branch can infect the entire vine. When open sin, unbelief, and unrepentance go unadmonished and unchecked in the church, lives and the salvation of souls are placed in peril. This is why pruning must be done. Through repentance, God cuts away those attitudes and behaviors of ours that separate us from him. And sadly, this pruning sometimes becomes so severe that it involves the cutting away of individuals. And yes, God has given the church the means to do this. God has given his church the power of the keys to remove, to discipline, or even to excommunicate those who in their rebellion and pride continue to openly sin. Church discipline or excommunication is not something to be done quickly or gone about lightly. It is a serious matter. Church discipline is not done out of tyranny or some sort of authority trip, but church discipline is an act of patient love to the erring brethren, to Christ, and to the church as a whole. The church should act with the utmost patience and love toward erring brothers and sisters, because they are, after all, brothers and sisters in Christ with the same struggles that each and every one of us has. Just as diseased and withered branches on a vine are not helpful, so too are those who would detach themselves from the church and seek to justify themselves by following the law. I am reminded of the shoots on my rose bush that sprung up directly from the rootstock, bypassing the rest of the bush. These green leafy shoots sprouted up higher than the rest of the bush. To the untrained eye, you would think that they were the healthiest part of the plant, except for one significant difference. They had no blossoms. They had no fruit. They were genetically unable to bear fruit. These shoots nourish themselves, getting leafy, green, and tall, while denying nourishment to the rest of the plant. There are many people today who are just like those green shoots. Their conduct is upright and law-abiding, impeccable, maybe, just like the scribes and the Pharisees. But they avoid the church because they see the blight and the dead, and they don't want to become infected. They do not want to suffer and bear their own brethren's burdens patiently. Their works are rooted in an unloving, self-preserving, hypocritical, and selfish pride. In their effort to become more holy and closer to God, they despise Christ, the true vine, and his branches. The clear promises of Christ that he is where he himself has promised to be in his word, gathered in community around word and sacrament, is not important to such people. They seek out God's kingdom according to what their own eyes can see and what they can feel in their confused hearts. This type of a so-called Christian is that type of person who believes that sitting home alone with their Bible, with no visit from a pastor, with no participation in a community, with no participation in the sacraments, they believe that that is the true picture of faith. It is not. That is not the picture Jesus gives us today. These delusional people completely lack Christ-like patience and love because they are not grafted into Christ, the true vine. They do not share in the love and the forgiveness of Christ, and it shows in how they act towards the body of Christ. Early this spring, the rose bush at the vicarage was carefully pruned, fertilized, sprayed, and is now full of buds. Yes, here on earth, the church may seem to be sickly and even at times worthless. But Christ has promised to be with his beloved church. And where Christ is, where he has promised to be, there is life and salvation. Christ is always working in his church, pruning and trimming, sustaining and healing, so that we, his beloved branches and members, will continue to flourish and bear good fruit. The fruits of our faith break and hinder the plans of the devil, bringing life, peace, and redemption to a dying world. Our Lord gives of himself purely out of a divine goodness and love. And in true, joyful, active faith, we share that love with others this Mother's Day and every other day. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen.